You hear this term, good, better, and best. I want to speak about the bestest. I know the vocabulary, I've just murdered the English language by using this phrase, the bestest father. And I'd like to take the scripture from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 29 to 32. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the dads here. I know it's very difficult. Very often as fathers, you know, we don't really know whether we have actually been what we should have been. We're always struggling. And as I shared this morning, and I also shared with the pastor, God is a good God, and He's a God of second chances. And I'm not able to watch the live football telecast, although I would like to watch it. But you know that a game is only won in the second half. So how we decide to live our lives is very important. As I shared, you know, with the service this morning, I said, you know, like in, there was the first Adam. He failed. The second Adam brought the blessing to us. Is that true? The first two children, the elder boy failed. His name was Cain. The younger boy brought the blessing. Abraham had two children. The first son failed, Ishmael. The second son brought the blessing. Isaac had two sons. The first son, Esau, failed. The second son, Jacob, brought the blessing. And you go down to Joseph and you go down through the scriptures and you discover that there is always the second one. So the first Adam failed. But our last Adam, who is Jesus, brought the blessing. We have the Old Testament, which was good, but the second New Testament brought the blessing. There is the Old Jerusalem, but there is also the New Jerusalem that's coming. There is the old birth that we had, and then there is the new birth, and it's the new birth that brings the blessing. So God is a God of second chances. Can I hear an amen? And so as men, sometimes, that's not what I really want to talk about, but I just feel that, is it enough kind of thing? Have I really succeeded? At the end of the day, you begin to ask yourself, you know, have I really made a difference? Could I have been a better father? I'm sure all of us would be thinking as fathers, I'm sure I could have done better. I'm sure I could have done better. But we sometimes don't know how to go about it, because we are all frail, we are weak, but there is always a God whom we have come to know who will help us. Amen? In the next phase of our lives. May not be a very long phase for some of us, but still, we can still make a difference in the lives of our children. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 to 32. Don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father, everybody say your Father, already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. Don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. So I want to talk a little bit about the bestness of Father. So we start with our relationship with Him, with God being our Heavenly Father. Jesus referred to God as His Father, my Father, 53 times in the Gospels. He referred to God being your Father 21 times. And He referred to God being our Father 21 times. But now he's talking about your Father, this relationship that we can have with God. It's like when Jesus came, He says, I want you to understand that my purpose is to restore what God had in His heart all along. God never wanted this religious relationship. Never. It was never in His mind when He created man to come into a religious relationship. It was meant to be a very personal one. And He would come in the cool of the day and walk in the garden. See, when He created man, He took man and He put him in the garden. not in the wilderness, not out there in the desert, but out here in an area where it was beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than the Garden of Eden. And he put him right there. Streams, four different streams were flowing through that through the garden. And in that place, he came to talk to man face to face. And that's always been his heart's cry, that I can come and talk to mankind. The whole purpose of Jesus coming back to coming to earth to pay for our the penalty of sin is so that we can now come through the veil. And when the veil was torn open, it was just a sign that, listen, man, I want to come into a personal relationship with you. Come on, amen. Our relationship with God, first of all, must be a very personal one. He is your Father. Say amen. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus had risen from the dead, and now Mary comes and she grabs a hold of him, and you know, she wants to just hold on to him because he is risen from the dead. He's alive now. And he says, Mary, don't cling to me. Don't cling to me, because I must go to my Father and to your Father. He's my Father, but he's also your Father. The relationship that I have with him, you can have with him. That's why you hear me speak a lot about prayer. Because prayer is simply you coming into the presence of Almighty God and being able to commune with him face to face as a man wants to speak to his friend. Come on, say amen. It is a tremendous invitation for God to do this for us. So it's not only just a personal relationship that he wants to have with us. It's a profound relationship. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, Message translation. What marvelous love the Father has extended towards us. Just look at it. Just look at it. We are called children of God. That's who we really are. King James Version, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And this is something that our finite minds cannot comprehend, that God Almighty would choose us. I think I shared this with you. See, in Roman times, during Paul's time, Paul talks about us being adopted. We have the spirit of adoption, it says. And the idea of adoption in Roman thinking is different from our idea. See, in Roman law, let's say Jonathan is my son. He's my natural son. In Roman law, I can disown him. I can. It is legal for me to disown him. In other words, write a paper and say he's no longer my son and he will no longer be my son. But when it comes to the case of adoption, if I adopted a child, I cannot disown my adopted child. Simply because I deliberately chose him to be my son. You're following with me. And because I made a choice, I picked him up from the crowd, so to speak, and made him my son, or I made the girl my daughter, I cannot legally disown them. And that is why Paul uses that language concerning us. He says, God has adopted you, which means that God cannot disown you. He has chosen you. Those of you who came to the camp, you heard Pastor Lionel share on the adoption, how this little girl was called adopted. Then her father told her, you have been specially chosen. Other children were, well, what you call, quote-unquote, accidents. They just happened. They are biological children. They had no choice. Parents had them, so they had them, so they become their children. But with you, we went and looked for one who would become our daughter. And God looked upon the entire earth and decided that you would be the one who would be his child. This is something we cannot understand. Why? This is the question, you know, I've often said, God, I don't understand this, but I'm just going to enjoy your love. Because out of all the people he could have chosen, if I was God, I wouldn't choose me. Seriously. I mean, I was bad to the bone. But yet God decided, I'm going to choose this person. Why me? There were so many other people who were much better, good people, good children, much more educated than me. People who did not bring heartache to their parents, could have chosen them. They were nice people. Why not them? Why me, who brought so much of heartache to my parents and everybody else? Even teachers gave up hope on me. But yet God decided, I'm going to choose this one. What profound love this is. It's a profound relationship. Can I hear an amen? It's also a permanent relationship. The good news, like I said, He cannot disown you. Romans 8, verses 38, 39, Passion Translation. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe, say amen, with the power to separate us from the love of God, God's love. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. In other words, there's no demonic power that can ever do this. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken His love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. What manner of love is it? It's a permanent love. When God set His love upon you, it's a permanent love. Don't you ever doubt God's love for you, because circumstances can lie to you. Your feelings can lie to you. In relationships that we have with individuals, they always like to ask the question, "Well, you no longer love me, huh? You still love me or not?" And we have a right to question, because we are human beings. And our love is so limited. Come on. I was sharing last night with a group, you know, and talking about as we get older, many parents are now, many of the older ones, and the media tells them, "You are now getting old. Now remember, this is now your life. You already gave everything to your children, enough. Start looking after number one now. Put money aside for yourself, because as you get older, nobody's going to look after you." And when you keep reading this again and again, you who are Christians can also be very influenced by that kind of thinking. And you forget that you have a God who will not let you go. You forget that there is a God who has saved you using through the precious blood of His Son, bought you with a price. He's not going to let you go. Out of all the people in the world, He chose you, and His love for you is permanent. Come on, say amen. So we talked a little bit about our relationship with God. Let's talk a little bit about God's revelation of Himself to us as our Father. First of all, in this scripture that we just read, He reveals Himself to us. He reveals His awareness. Verses 29 and 30. "Don't be concerned about what to eat, what to drink. Don't worry about such things." Everybody say amen. Don't worry. I was sharing with some of you, I guess, in the prayer meeting. I don't know where I share, because I keep sharing every now and again. And, you know, sometimes words over the years gets changed. The Bibles that we read are translations. Language changes. For example, the Ten Commandments. When the Jews, they don't have Ten Commandments. They have 613. You say, "Who yo?" But you see, they don't have the word commandments. The word commandments is an English translation. Their language is instructions or challenges. In other words, "You shall have no other gods before me." We say that's a command. For them, it is a challenge. It's an invitation. "Don't go looking for other gods when I am here." That's how they look at it. I am your provider. I am the living God. Therefore, why go and bow down to things that you make with your hands? That's what he's saying. Whether you cut down a tree, the same fire tree, the wood you use for firewood, another one you go and make a little god, cover it with gold, whatever, and then you bow down before it. He says, this is foolish. Same wood you also use for cooking. And so he says, this is foolish. Why go it? You know there's no value in it, so don't go for other gods. I am here for you. So they don't look at it as commandments. They look at it as instructions or invitations to have a relationship with him. Come on, church. And if we look at it in that way, then everything becomes different. So when he says, do not worry, he's telling you, there is no need for you to worry because I am totally aware of what you need, not what you want, what you actually need. So sometimes there's a delay in our prayers because God wants to change our wants to actually meet our needs. This is what you think you would like to have, but I'm telling you, this is what you ought to have. Come on, church. Amen. And we need to have that change in our mind when we become aware of his awareness. God is aware of everything that I need, church. He's aware of everything. Amen. All you young people, he's aware of the partner that you need. Don't worry about it. Don't be in such a hurry to find a partner. So young people are so frightened, they will not get the chance. I'll become, you know, I'm already 16. God is aware. The word there, and your father knows what you have need of these things. Your father knows that you have need of these things. And the word have need means simply our needs are many and they are constant. Almost every day we have got new needs. Our needs are constant. We are constantly having different needs. And God knows exactly what our needs are. And he is able to supply our needs according to all his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This morning I was talking to the Tamil section and I said we must define what a father is biblically, not culturally. Because in the culture, I was speaking to the Tamil congregation, I preach a different message, okay? Because Indian culture, the men are different than the women. Very clear different. And I try to practice that in my home. That when I'm eating, she must just stand and watch me. And when I'm walking, she must walk 1 mile behind me. Indian culture. Learning or not, Keith? Okay. Michelle? This is, so I said, we all these kind of things, we've got to change in the thinking. And I said, sometimes we practice cultural Christianity, biblical. Okay, so it's a biblical Christianity, all right? We've got to practice biblical Christianity. Say amen. What is the Bible? How does the Bible define a Christian? Not, oh, but this is our culture, Pastor. This is our culture. I said, no. When we go to Punjab also, when Jonathan and Stefan and all that, we go there, we tell Pastor Abby, Pastor, ask your wife to come and say, no, Pastor, cannot, Pastor. Why cannot? Pastor, Indian culture different, Pastor. I said, yes, but Bible culture also different. You follow Bible culture, not Indian culture, right? She sits with us. What God has joined together, why your culture must put asunder? All right, now that's beside the point. Huh? We have constant needs, and God knows what our needs are, and he is able. He reveals his ability. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, God has more than if God is able to do exceedingly, come on, abundantly. He is able to do, and he is willing to do. It's not like I can do all things, but I'll think about it. He wants to do it. He desires to do. He wants to be involved in our lives. Amen. He's got the ability to do it. I shared last night the testimony of how, and I've shared this with you before, how when I was a Bible school student, God could supply me with 15 cent stamps. Can you imagine? I didn't have 15 cents, even 10 cents in my pocket. Nothing, zero as a Bible school student. But when I wanted to reply a letter, 15 cents, not 15 cents would come to me, but 15 cents stamp would come to me. And if God, because that was my need. My need was not the 15 cents because I'll use that maybe and go and buy some me, the dry kind of me, collect 15 cents all the time. No. What you need is a stamp. I'll give you a stamp. And if he could meet me in that small area, this great big creator God who spoke walls into existence could come to the level of David Ramiah as a young student and give me 15 cent stamp. The ability of God, his awareness of my need and his abilities. Amen. Ephesians, my favorite scripture, Ephesians 3:20. God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. My favorite scripture. God, you are able to do above all. If I will only ask and if I will only allow my mind to expand and imagine good things, you are able to do it. Come on, church. God is only limited by your asking and your imagination. But he will do according to what you ask and according to what you imagine. I'll never forget Dr. Yonggi Cho talked about this. And he mentioned about his church. He said he went into one of the large, at that time he was just struggling with his church. He went into one of the largest churches and he measured the whole church. Measured it. He measured that church. And then he went back and he said, God, this is what I desire. I desire something that is far bigger than this. And according to his imagination, God gave it to him. God gave it to him. He talked about the time where he was praying. He says, you know, he went into one of the missionaries' office and he saw this big, nice mahogany table. And he said, oh, God, this is nice. You know, he looked at the table. Then he went back and he was thinking to himself, you know, I need a table in my office. So he kept praying, God, give me a table. And God asked him very specifically, what kind of table do you want? Table, many kinds of table. What kind of table do you feel? And he put his request to God. He imagined himself sitting at that table. And true enough, somebody supplied him with that table. And the scripture he got basically was from Genesis where Jacob, he has been cheated by his father-in-law. And now the father-in-law tells him, you know, different things, cheats him out of different things. So Jacob says this, okay, you've got a lot of cattle, black cattle, brown cattle. You've got all this cattle. Tell you what, I will look after the cattle. And if any of the cattle are spotted, then they become mine. In other words, they are mixed color, all right? They are mine. So what he did was he got some trees. They call them the poplar trees. And he cut the trees so that the trees will have different colors. And he put all the trees in a row right to where they would come and drink water. So every time when the cows came to drink water, they would look up and they would see all these trees with spots. And eventually all the cattle that was born were spotted. You say, really, one and all? That's in the Bible, huh? Why do you think God told Abraham, come out of your tent and look at the stars? Why? Because if he was in the tent, he would see nothing. But when you come out of the tent, then you start to see things. And you look at the stars, count them. Every star began to call him, Papa Abraham, Papa Abraham, Papa, Papa. Count them, they are going to be like your children. God is able, say amen. God is able. All right, also he reveals his approachability. Verse 31, God can be approached. There are many fathers, sadly, they are very bossy, very busy. Some fathers are very beastly. You're so afraid to approach the fathers because of the way, I mean, the many things that I have heard, how children who are supposed to be trusted, I mean, the parents are supposed to be trusted over the children, the kind of abuse children go through, sons and daughters. I was a stupid father. I used to basically abuse Jonathan. Really, can you see how disturbed he is now? Really, I was stupid because I thought, as a preacher, my children, from the time they were born, are all supposed to have wings and halos, supposed to be perfect. And so the moment he was naughty, not wicked. Now, please understand, there's a big difference between naughty and wicked. But I was stupid. I didn't allow him to be the boy he was supposed to be. So every time he'd do something, I would smack him and say, "Behave yourself." At one time, my eldest brother asked him when he saw, "Your papa stopped beating you, eh?" Another time I reached out to him to carry him, he went like this. That's the day I decided to stop beating him. Until he grew a bit later, then use cane. But I never used my hand anymore because I was a stupid father. But I thank God he gives me a second chance. I hope that I'm now approachable. But at that time, if he wanted anything, he will ask Joanna to ask me. Why? Because he felt, I can't approach him, but if Joanna approaches him, then he will give Joanna what I want. I'm sure none of you are like that. But I'm letting you know that God always gives us a second chance. And fathers must be approachable. Huh? Cat Stevens sings that song. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen now. There's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Sad song entitled Father and Son. But it's a sad situation where the children try to talk or anything. We are not approachable. We don't want to listen to what they have to say. Not approachable sometimes even by our spouses. And that's a sad thing. That's why when I talked to the Tamil section this morning, I said, "Tamil section, I don't want to hear all this kind of thing. Vardi, podi kind of thing. Huh? You act like you are the boss because you are earning the bread, so you feel that you can say whatever you want to say. They must listen to you." I said, all that is not biblical. That is not what God tells us to do. Come on. Amen. Okay, that's a whole new message. All right, so last of all, our response to him, very quickly. First of all, trust him. Amen. Do not be afraid. Trust him. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a nursing mother forget her child? Yet I will not forget you. Psalm 70, verse 9. David is afraid. He prays this prayer. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Because everybody else forsook him, even his children forsook. That's why many parents are afraid. They are afraid that the day will come where all the children will leave them and they will be left alone. So we want to keep a little nest, a little, some kind of money. Money's not going to help you, man. You can have the provisions for your physical body, maybe create a home where you can, you know, be comfortable. But that's not going to really help you. You will need God to come in. The scripture that became very real to me when I was just going through the operation thing and coming out of it, when I came out of it, Isaiah 46, verse 4. Even to old age, I am he, and even to your gray hair I will carry you. And will I still be like a baby to you, Father, even with my gray hair? He says, yes, the word to carry you is to carry you like a baby. Even when you are gray-haired and old, do not be afraid. I will carry you. My confidence is not, I thank God for a good family, but my confidence is not in them. Because I know that human beings can fail. They will have their own families. They will have different things to attend to. But I do know this, that my Father will carry me. That's where my confidence is. That's why I say He's the bestest Father. I can trust in Him. Amen? And of course, the last thing is to take Him. It is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything that God has for us is given. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of your own works. It is the gift of God. By faith we are saved. Salvation. Romans 6, 23. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized, for you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everything that God has can never be earned. So whatever he has for us is given. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Every good and perfect. So what am I supposed to do? Receive. Receive. Come to the Father and say, Father, I thank you that you have it all for me. It is your good pleasure to give me the entire kingdom. I just come and I receive. Amen. I'm sure you heard the story of this father. He and his son had a big clash and his son left home. When he was young, just as a young teenager, left home, ran away, went to another city to work. Never saw his son for nearly 25 years. And he really missed his son. It was his only son. The son never communicated with him. Then he found out somehow that his son was in a certain city, far away, a few hundred miles away. And so he also knew that his son loved to read the sports pages. So he took up a big advertisement and put it in the sports page. And it read this: Dear Robbie, I miss you. I love you. Please come home. I will be waiting for you outside the post office tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. Father had already arrived, and so he went the next morning to see if Robbie would come to the post office. He got there a little bit early, and by then, there were 42 Robbies waiting at the post office. 42 who wanted to come home to Daddy. 42 just waiting to come back home, thinking, Father will now accept me. You know, and sometimes all our lives we want to, maybe our Father will accept us. But you know, there's a Heavenly Father. And my whole message this morning is basically an advertisement saying, I miss you. Come home. Come back to me. I love you. I'm waiting. He's always waiting. And may God teach us to respond to Him quickly. Amen. Stand with me.